Now, some people might take what I'm going to say wrong, and I don't want you to do that, but there is a lesson in the Bible about sin in the camp. And I'm not saying that there's sin in our camp. I'm not saying there's not sin in our camp. But one of the things that you do is you, if you deal with an issue sometimes up front, it's a preventative. It helps us understand. If you understand that, and I used to teach this lesson to the kids at the juvenile facility, if I laid a $5 bill down on the table and walked out, and the money probably wouldn't be there when I came back. One of those kids would have taken it. And they say, oh yeah, I get it. And they go to cutting up about that. And I said, but if you realized when God's all done with you stealing that $5, it's going to cost you $5,000 over the long run, you're not going to take it. And so what we want to do is to learn that you're not going to pull anything over on God. Here, what takes place is it's a simple mistake, but it's a dangerous mistake because Joshua made it. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read just a few verses here, starting with Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. It says, but is the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing? For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shibarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. And he and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, we just ask you to do something special in our service. And Lord, we're not saying that there's sin in our camp. But Lord, if we deal with it and warn people about the sin and what it is before you and what it costs, Lord, we might be able to prevent some bad things happening. Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. This preacher, Lord, keep him out of your way. Lord, this is a sensitive message, as they all are. And Lord, help me not to get in it, but help me to speak for you only the words that you have for your people. For it's in that holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. One of the things that I see here in this passage is the fact that, and if you understand the setting, the children of Israel had just defeated Jericho. Okay, Jericho was a great, great, huge city with huge walls. And they actually had walls and they felt like they were secure. And the children of Israel came up and they looked at the city of Jericho and they said, there's no way we can conquer this city. We can't even get through the walls. But how many of you have heard the old spirituals, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho? Joshua didn't have to do a whole lot to fight. And I want you to get this in the fact that the children of Israel forgot something that is very, very important. I would have loved to have been in the strategy meeting with Joshua and his generals at that time when they were talking about going up against Jericho and saying, well, what did the Lord tell you about how we were going to go up against Jericho? Well, this is what the Lord said we're going to do. We're going to go and we're going to march around the city the first day. And then the second day, we're going to march around the city. And then we're going to do that for 6 days, just march around one time. And then on the seventh day, we're going to march around seven times. Now, it's important that you not say anything during that week. You can't even ask to pass the salt. Okay? You can't say anything. And this is the strategy. And then when that seventh time, when you go around the city on the seventh day, the seventh time, then what's going to happen is we're going to shout and blow the trumpet. And that's all we're going to do. And the walls are going to fall down. I can see them looking at each other. But really? No. Seriously, Joshua, what's the strategy? Hey, that was God's plan. I want you to remember something. God brought those walls down.
Amen.
The children of Israel didn't have anything to do. They just obeyed the Lord and marched around, and guess what? God brought them down.
Amen.
By the way, I've heard of archaeologists finding the walls. Now, I want you to think, these are huge walls. They were thick walls. They did not fall, and they could not have fallen forward or backward because they'd still have to climb over. They had to slide. How many of you have ever seen a door that slides in a pocket wall? That's exactly what had to happen with those walls. They had to fall down so that they could march over. Now, I'm not sure how all that happened, but I want you to remember something. The children of Israel got a little bold because all they had to do is go in and fight. The Jericho people, they were not ready to fight because they didn't think anybody was going to be able to get through the walls. They were probably sitting there laughing at them. So Jericho fell only because the Lord told Joshua what to do, and they obeyed. But when the time came to go up against Ai, there are two problems. One problem would have solved the other one. Because Joshua did not ask the Lord, before they went up against Ai. I want you to understand there are times in our lives that we have a tendency to want to make a decision. We have a tendency to say, well, obviously this is what the Lord wants me to do. Sharon and I learned some lessons when the time came for me to graduate from Landmark, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And at first, it looked like we were going to be going to the Ukraine to work at a Bible college there. Well, that'd been a mess, wouldn't it? What's going on over there now? We went as far as to get our passports. But we never, Lord didn't give us permission to go on a survey trip. Then we thought we were going to work at I was going to pastor a church just across the river in Ohio from Kentucky. And I got to dealing with the people there and talked to one of the men on the committee several times, and that fell through. Then we ended up at a church in Stark for about 6 months and helping that church out. But one of the lessons that I learned from this study right here on Joshua is don't make a move unless you get permission from the Lord.
Right. Amen.
Joshua made a royal mess. These men said, we don't need that many men. We're going to defeat Ai without any problem. We just whipped Jericho. Good grief. Ai, it's a little town. Jericho's this big, huge city. Don't ever, ever make the assumption that this is what the Lord wants me to do unless you have His permission. Unless you get a clear sign. And ask Him for a clear sign. You say, well, how do you do that? One of the principles that I've learned is found in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And I've always used this. Sharon will vouch for that and the fact that I always use this passage, because the Bible says in that passage, Jesus is the one that openeth and no man shutteth, and He's the one that shutteth and no man openeth. And when I was praying, whenever I prayed for a ministry, and I prayed the same thing when I came to Bartow, Lord, please, please, only open one door, because I'm not smart enough to find the right one if you open two. That's the way I told him. Plain up. I prayed that prayer so many times, I could just about play it on a recording, because the Lord knows what I'm going to say. But when you've got a decision, when you've got an important decision to make, that's the way you need to make it. Whether it's a purchase of a house or a car or even a minor purchase of an appliance or something. Hey, make sure it's what the Lord wants. We've been praying for a bus or a van for so long, and then I've been talking. One of the things that somebody was asking me was, is it a standard or automatic? I don't know. I told him, I don't know. I said, I can drive either one. It's the one the Lord's provided. Good grief, I used to drive those standard. I had several pickup trucks I drove the wheels off of with standard transmission. Used to drive those old boom trucks. Good grief, out there at the mines. You better be able to drive standard out there. But the truth is, we get ourselves in trouble when we make decisions without seeking the Lord's guidance first. We can save ourselves a lot of grief. If Joshua had only done here before Ai what he did before Jericho, those 36 men would not have died. They would not have lost a battle. The whole time they were fighting, There were two times where I see Joshua made a mistake. He did it here, and he did it also in Joshua chapter 9, where he says, where they made a league with the Gibeonites. And they didn't check with the Lord first, because they were deceived. Now, I'm not going to go into that, but I want you to understand, here we see that Joshua makes a decision, and if he had made the decision to, let's check with the Lord first. And that's what cost them the battle. Now, what would the Lord have said? The same thing he said in verse 10 and 11. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there on the sin as much as I am the decision to make a decision to go away and choose to do what you want to do or what they felt like needed to happen. I think about this and the fact that there are obviously times in all of our lives that we have a decision to make. And it's just so logical to go this way. But remember something. The Lord says, my ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are your thoughts. In Sunday school this morning, we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16 about Samuel. He saw Eliab, David's older brother, and he says, obviously this is the one that the Lord wants to be king. He was wrong. The Lord said, it's not him. See, you and I have a tendency to logically try to get ahead of the Lord and say, well, this is how the Lord wants this to happen. This is what he wants me to do. You be careful there, because that's an area where the devil likes to jump in. And he will pull you into something. He will trick you. Had a guy on the bus this week. He was talking about some preachers, and he was asking me about some different individuals. He was talking about a guy named Benny Rooster or Benny Hinn or something. But anyway, but he was saying, "Oh, this is he's a great guy." Well, that's not what Jesus tells me. And he's going through these preachers that he thinks I ought to like. No, not none of them. Some of them are women. I said, well, the Bible says a woman's not supposed to usurp the authority over a man.
That's right.
So how's she going to teach and preach to men? The only way she'd be able to even teach a class is to have just women in the class. Women are children. That's the proper way. I'm not, and I want you to understand. I know there's a lot of people that say I'd be sexist. I'm just following the book. Okay? It's God's book. He made us. He has a right to call things the way he wants them. Don't get caught up in labeling people. There are some people that think it's all right for a divorced man to pastor. It's not what the Bible says. Be careful what you think and make sure it matches up with God, what God thinks, his book. Joshua gets into this. Look at what it says in, go to chapter 6. This is the instructions the Lord gave Joshua before they went into Jericho. And it says, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. What Achan did was he took a wedge of gold and he took a garment. One of the things that we see is the fact that he took something from the Lord's treasury. It wasn't just the fact that he took something. It says a wedge of silver, let's say in chapter 7, verse 21, it says, this is what Achan was saying. He says, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, probably something like Victoria's Secret or something. I'm having fun. I hope y'all are too. And 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. See, what happened was he took something. Nobody else knew it that we know of, but God knew it. When you make a decision to do something wrong, know that you cannot get away with it. Just like I said with the $5 bill with the kids in the facility. Hey, God gets us back for that. If you think you can get away with it, you're sadly mistaken. It's going to cost you so much more than what you gain out of it. The Bible says you sow to the wind, you reap a whirlwind. So, and I'm not saying that there's sin in the camp. What I'm trying to do is maybe make sure that it doesn't happen. But I want us to see that sin is dangerous. It's hideous. In fact, if nobody had ever sinned, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. That's how hideous the sin is. Jesus had to die such a horrific death to pay for our sins. But the key is, number one, the Lord knows. And what happened to the children of Israel? Think about it. They were defeated by a little town when they just whipped a huge city. They lost their power. Sin will cause you to lose your power with the Lord. Sin will cost us as a church. Sin will cost us as individuals. It'll cost us in our families. It'll cost us in our country. It'll cost us in our communities. You can't control, nor can I control, what our country does any more than we can with our vote. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and say that. God's going to hold us accountable on how we vote. That's our influence. Okay? So, enough said. How do you vote, preacher? Vote your Bible. You're on solid ground when you vote according to the Bible. And I've never been able to vote for the baby killers. Okay? It gets real quiet when I say that on the bus, by the way. But the truth is, that's, if nothing else on the ballot, I can't vote for that. How horrible is that? So the Lord said that Achan took of the accursed thing. And look at how many times the word accursed is used in verse 18 in chapter 6. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. You think the Lord is trying to give them a warning? That's what we need to understand. In our society today, sin is made to, it's packaged in such a fashion that it's tried, and people try to pass it off as a pretty thing. It's just as wicked and vile and horrible in the sight of God as it ever was. And we need to see it that way too. Our country has, you can't watch TV hardly anymore for the homosexuals on TV. That's why I like to go back and watch the old westerns, amen? Andy Griffith or something, whatever. But the truth is, those old movies, they're good. Number one, they're good and clean. They don't even use foul language on them. Try to find it. And they're getting to where you can't see many commercials without every once in a while seeing foul language. Makes me want to put my foot through my TV if they cuss at me in my own living room. This world trying to package and pass sin off to you and I, abominations off to you and I, as if it's all right, if it's acceptable. We're supposed to tolerate it. Not hardly. I'm going to preach against it until I die. And if they put me in jail for preaching, I'll preach it there. But the truth is, we as Christians have got to see sin the way God sees sin. And that's the only way that we can get to the point where we understand it is taboo. It is something that we need to get away from. If that was a cliff, that was sin right there, I need to get just as far back from it as I can. The Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't even get close enough to where it looks like you're near it. And when you do that, you're in safe ground. Because every once in a while we fall. But if I fall from back here, guess what? I'm still nowhere near the sin. But if I'm standing up here and I fall, I might go over the edge. I heard an old preacher say one time, old drunk had got saved, and he said, "I have trouble, preacher." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "Well," he said, "I got saved, but I just can't, I have trouble staying away from the bar." And he said, "Well, where are you tying your horse?" "Well, in front of the bar." Preacher said, "Tie your horse on the other side of the street. Tie your horse down the road. You and I, we need to tie our horse away from the sin. You know what you're susceptible to, just like I know what I'm susceptible to. We all have tendencies. We all know our weaknesses. By the way, the devil does too. But if we want God's blessings on our lives, on our families, on our church, on our country, somebody's got to stay close to God. And I want to be that church. I want us to be that church. If not us, who? Let me ask you something. If you had somebody that you wanted to see get saved, what church in Bartow could you count on to tell them the truth? Besides this one. If this one wasn't here, what would you do? You'd have to go a ways to find one that shoot it straight. I'm not bragging on me. I was trained right. I had some good people teach me and say, you don't water down the message. If people don't like the message, let them get mad at God. I want this to be a message that's a positive thing in the fact that it keeps us from sin. It helps us understand that we have on that stupid one-eyed monster in our living rooms, it has a tendency to cause us to get comfortable with wickedness. And that's dangerous ground. If I'm going to be the man of God, if I'm going to be the Christian, if I'm going to be the father and husband I need to be, and the grandfather I need to be, and the neighbor and the bus driver I need to be, I've got to keep that garbage out of my life, out of my eyesight. Keep it from influencing me. And you do too. Because we all have the same tendencies. So when you make a decision, always make sure that that's the Lord's decision for you. You'll never go wrong with that. And don't get in a position. We saw what it was with Achan. He saw, then he coveted, and then he took. You've got to break that cycle somewhere. If you don't break the cycle, it's going to break you. This sin is a wicked, it's wicked. And I want to live a holy life. I want people to see Jesus in me. And the only way that's going to happen is if we have the power of God on our lives and on our church. And to do that, we've got to keep the sin out. We've got to keep the wickedness out. And we've got to tell it like it is. Don't go along with people saying, what do you think about homosexuality? Well, I believe what God believes. It's wicked. It's an abomination. When Barack was president, we were an abomination. Obama nation. But anyway. But the truth is, let Lord make your decisions. And ask Him to open up just one door, Lord. I've got a decision to make. And don't move unless you know for sure it's Him. And if you keep a good, healthy view of sin like God does, you'll stay away from it. Because it's destroyed many a preacher, many a Christian, many a church, many a family. And the devil loves it and he laughs his head off when it happens. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your love and your mercy. And Lord, it's not a yippee type message, but Lord, it's one that will help us if we get a hold of it. And Lord, I thank you for those that have taught me the lessons found in this passage. And Lord, we just ask you to move in a special way in our invitation. We thank you for giving us this lesson. It was an expensive lesson for Achan and his family. An expensive lesson for the children of Israel because they lost a battle. But Lord, we thank you that we can learn from Achan's mistake. Use the invitation for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.